Well, we are coming at you live. It's a nice, beautiful, rainy Saturday afternoon here in Princeton, New Jersey.
It is. How can you say beautiful and rainy at the same time?
Because I enjoy rain.
You do.
I do.
You know, your personality would imply that you do like rain.
It's true.
I try to like the rain, but I don't really like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know why I don't like it?
Why?
Because it makes you wet. I went outside today, and I got all wet. Like, I forgot to bring the umbrella. I just went to the CVS, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I did today?
Went to CVS, obviously.
But before that.
Okay.
I went to throw out my garbage, you know?
Right. I see there's a nice nice fresh bag in there.
For the audience needs to know this. And I said to myself, I said, self, nothing bad is going to happen today. Okay, so then I thought, okay, I go to CVS, and then maybe I'll go to gym, you know, just to work out a little bit.
You got like a weird like accent going on there.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. It's probably a problem.
Okay.
So you know, when I go to the gym, I have this whole routine where I put stuff in a little bag, because you know you have to take your phone, you have to take your earbuds. You know, there's stuff that you need at the gym. So I don't want to carry a whole satchel, like a bag.
Right.
So I put it in a little bag. Somehow.
So you don't want to carry a bag, so you carry a bag.
I don't want to carry a thing with zippers or pockets. I want just a bag where I can just take it out and put it, you know, like I want a very functional bag.
Right. Okay.
So that's not too much to ask, you know. So I have a whole collection of bags here in my closet. Just for this purpose.
Right.
So now I am taking the garbage in one hand, and I'm taking my bag with my phone and my earbuds in the other. Somehow they all end up in the dumpster. I threw my phone into the dumpster.
I think it was probably like a reflection. Like you had one in one hand, so like your brain was like, all right, I'm carrying two bags. Throw one out, throw out the other.
Yeah, but I distinctly remember tying up the garbage bag very meticulously. And the other bag is not tied, and I don't know what my brain, I don't know why does this happen. And then I didn't realize, of course, I did it. So then I go out. I go to the CVS, and I'm like, huh, I should really have my phone. I don't have my phone. Where's my phone? And I'm like, oh, my God, I guess I left it at home. I go back home. I look everywhere. It's inside the dumpster, and it's been raining on for like an hour. So now I'm thinking my phone's not going to work because it's been rained on. So then I have to crawl into the dumpster, and you guess what? All the bags in the dumpster look the same, man. So then it's fucking raining.
The bag that you had with your phone looked just like every other bag?
Yeah. Look. This is the white. This is the where it's like a bag like this. This is like a white bag. It's
A
Caucasian bag.
Okay.
And then this one looks very much like this.
Oh, right, I see.
So then all the bags in the dumpster are like, there's like millions of them. And now I have to open up bags.
Yeah.
In the rain. So finally, on the fifth bag had my phone in it. But then my neighbors are looking around to see this guy, like, literally, I spent like 40, and then I had the dumpster smell on me. That's how my day started. God damn it!
Shit. That's something. When you told me there was a garbage story,
yeah,
I did not expect it to go to that point.
Yeah, well, it would have been better if I came back to the dumpster and there would have been just a few little bags there,
right?
But there, it was like filled to the brim with like bags. I'm like, which one has my cell phone, and will my cell phone work?
Right. Well, it's working because you just got a message.
I just got a message.
Yeah, you just got a message.
Well, this is very exciting, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad we started with this story because we have nowhere to go but up.
That's right.
Oh God, it's family. We don't.
Oh, okay.
We don't need to deal with that.
Well, that went up, came back down pretty quickly.
What?
So we started with the garbage story.
Yeah.
We had nowhere to go but up. So
right.
The possibility of an interesting text conversation implied that that was what was going to make the conversation go up.
Right.
But it turned out to be something underwhelming, so we're back down to where we started.
Yeah. Which is good. It's neutral.
Right, that's right. Neutral ground's good.
Yeah. I'd like to give a shout-out to some people that have met.
A shout-out. Right.
A shout-out.
Shout-out. Yeah.
But what's wrong with the way I said it?
Well, I'm partial also just milking every single moment. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. A shout. See, now I can't say it. Shout-out.
Yeah.
Shout-out.
Because, see, the thing is, you have the good material. all I have to work with is milking it and making you look even worse. So that's pretty much my angle.
I don't want to be the one with the material, but every time I leave the house, shit happens. So, okay, shout out to people. Right. So I met very nice people. And so I think we have 8 listeners from the last episode. I think some of them are from the people from this week.
Right.
So by the time we do this, we're going to have millions of people.
Right. Oh, actually, you know, now you mentioned that, I want to bring something up, but you go with yours
first. No, go ahead.
Okay. So I understand that, you know, our British companion has not messaged you in
a
while.
Right.
So I think what – I have a theory.
Okay.
Our last episode, we did not talk about him at all.
Right.
So I think he might be like, what the fuck?
No, I don't think that's it, though.
No?
No, because I think we've had many episodes where we haven't mentioned him, and he was an avid fan.
Ah.
So I don't think he's mad at us. That would be great if he was, because that would be great material.
Yeah, it would.
Then we could, like, you know, call him, do another broadcast, you know, British Mark Part 2. Be like, why are you mad at us? Oh, my God, you
know? That'll be it.
Do you want to see a picture of him and his band?
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's been posting, he's not listening. You're not here, Mark. We're just talking about you. So, he's been posting stuff on... and he looks actually very attractive compared to the rest of the people.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'm not saying that they're... Because the other people look very British. Look at this. This is British Mark. And look at these people. I bet this guy's name is Nigel.
He looks like a Nigel. He looks like he's the comic relief of the group.
Oh, I don't know. I think he's playing bass. Is that bass?
I'm not sure. Actually,
he looks.
Was that four? Is that just four strings? That looks like just.
I think it's bass. Yeah. If I had to guess, but he looks like your average math teacher playing bass.
Yeah,
I'm sure he's very nice, but I bet his name is Nigel. And then this guy. He's like your every, you know, your friendly neighborhood dentist.
Right, right.
And then British Mark looks really cool.
He does.
Yeah. So you see, it's all who you're next.
He's got
to.
Like a, he's got. I see. He's got like the armband tattoo there.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a bad. Well, he thinks he's a badass. So like I don't. He. I mean, you know.
He could have been a badass in a former life, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, compared to these two, he looks really cool. Oh, but yeah. Anyway.
For you, British Mark. I hope things are going well with the band.
Yeah, yeah.
I won't be able to come over and see your shows, but I'm. I look forward to hearing about them.
And this is her. And you know, I've been staring at Lissy's picture for this. Some of her pictures, she's even more attractive. And so, anyway. But that's. I digress. So, I just want to tell the audience that sometimes I stare at a beautiful woman just for a while.
I don't.
You don't?
I used to, but I don't anymore.
Okay.
Right. I just wanted to make my contribution to that.
Yeah, this is great. I love it. I love it when I say something and you say that you don't do it.
Right.
Because it just leads to nowhere.
At least nowhere.
It is a dead end street.
But I think it's also because, you know, I feel like people who look, you know, they still have hope. Me, I'm just like, the hope's kind of like gone for the moment.
Yeah, so it's like, I wouldn't say it's gone. I would say it's hiding. It's at bay.
Right.
It's like
right.
A neutral, you know.
Right.
I think you do have hope. It's like when you look into a closet, it's not readily available. It's like yours is like hiding
right
in the top corner. But I don't have hope either. Like I have a date tonight with two women over 70. No, 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 not 70. 60. I don't know. After a while.
Is it a date though? And I think they're the ones you wanted to give the shout out to, right?
Yes, you're correct. yes. What happens is...
Did I blow up your spot there?
Or? No. This is a very good segue into what I was originally going to talk about.
Right.
Apparently, all my life, Ryan, since I was a young lad...
The best stories start out that way.
It's just like, you know, I grew up with my brother... He apparently had normal experiences. Like, every experience that I've really ever had from being a toddler has always been weird. I don't know. And then the question is this. Do I look at things weirdly or are the events really weird? I think the events are really weird. I don't think I look at things. I don't think sure, I embellish a little bit for the show. But most of the times, I don't really embellish that much.
Well, I think if you take the snowball approach.
Yeah.
You know, like, from a very young age, you know, things started weird and then just kind of, like... It rolls down a hill and builds and builds. So all you keep on having these weird experiences, which makes you look at the weird world in a weird way. Which then it's like in a way attracts further weird experiences.
Weird attracts weird.
Yeah,
I guess so. But the events are always different. You know, like why am I the one that has the weird magnet? You know what I mean? Like I'm fairly normal.
So I think you have to make a conscious decision and be like, all right. Everything – what I would do on a normal day, I'm going to do the opposite.
But
the opposite Danny.
I know, but check this out. Check this out.
Okay.
Check this out. It's not really what I do that attracts the weirdness. It's just my existence alone attracts the weirdness. Like, okay. I didn't do anything. All I did was go to these singles events. That's all I did.
I think I need to shadow you and, like – view you from afar and observe your daily happenings. From an outsider's perspective to document objectively what's going on.
But I really not embellishing anything that I'm about to say. Really, right. Really. Okay. So I, for example, let's exhibit number one.
Okay.
Okay. I go about my day. I go into a local store. A woman works there by the name of Allison, and she was almost going to be on our show once, but then she decided she was too shy. Right? Do you remember her?
Oh, yeah.
She's very cool, and she works at the store nearby. I always go there to print stuff out because my printer doesn't work. It hasn't worked in the millions of years. So now every time I have to print something, I go to the store, okay? I have a printer. It's just not – we can't figure out how to make it work.
I probably could, but okay.
Yeah, but, you know, it gives me an excuse to see Allison, who I like. She's married.
Of course.
So I go into the store, and, you know, it's very easy to have banter with her. And so we're bantering, and then this other guy shows up, who apparently comes there every day to give her sweets, to give her, like, food. If he listens to this, you know, he's weird. He would say that he's weird. Let's call him Weird Peter, okay? So he's like I'm very normal compared to him. He's, like, talking a mile a minute, and he's like... Somehow we end up outside and he has this big truck and he says, you know, we should go to an improv group. And I'm like, I don't know if I like him or not, you know, because he's one of those people that could be
serial killer.
No, he doesn't look, you know, he looks harmless. Mm-hmm. Like I could probably take him in a fight.
Right.
But Jeffrey Dahmer looked harmless too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he could be a serial killer.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, he could be funny, but exhausting. He's like, he tries to be like Robin Williams, you know, like...
Oh, yeah.
Stream of consciousness dude, you know? And I, after a while of hearing that, you're in, you know, like, it, he would... So anyway, I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I said, sure, let's go to an improv group, okay?
I know there are improv groups around the area.
Well, I learned a lot. There's a few that we... there's one in Trenton. We went to the one in Trenton. So now this is Tuesday. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go with this weird guy to an improv. The whole thing is already weird.
Is it a decent area of Trenton, or is it like right there in the projects?
No, it's not bad. It's actually in a theater called the Mill Hill Theater, and I did a play there once 30 years ago. When I went there, it brought back – I did my first play ever in front of an audience was there.
Oh, wow.
And I haven't been there. It looks just the same for like 30 years ago. But now I'm like very nervous about this thing because he could be a serial killer. So I'm like, maybe we should just meet there. But I think I can't figure out where he lives. He's being very cryptic about where he lives. So he's like, okay, well, let's go. And it was free, so you know, was it? So anyway, so we decided to go together. Brian just gave me the look like this is not going to bode well. So now I meet him like he. So I don't want to tell him where I live. He could be a killer. So, but somehow we're meeting here on next to my apartment, but not you know, but not in my apartment. Like he doesn't.
Well, that's good,
right? So we have like a little clubhouse here. So he's like, I didn't even tell him where I lived. Like, but somehow I don't know. He's weird.
Did you tell him like the name of the association? Or?
I was fishing to see, hey, where do you want to meet? And I could meet you anywhere, you know. But anyway, somehow, you know, he says, you know, we make up a time, and he's like 10 minutes. Like he keeps saying, okay, I'll be there in 10 minutes. I'll be there in 10 minutes. And you know, I hate lateness; it just drives me crazy. We have to go to Trenton, and there's like a lot of traffic, And it takes, like, you know, and traffic is terrible. Anyway, so now he shows up in this crazy truck, and it's full of stuff. It's like a hoard. I don't know what this guy does for a living. So now we have to, like, empty the front seat. That takes, like, 10 minutes. And I'm like, I should have just met you there. You know what I mean? So now he's driving. I don't know. He was an okay driver, but he looked like he would be a terrible driver. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we got there. And then the whole thing is okay, you know, improv is weird, you know, like, it's okay. I think I'm going to continue with it, because it's something to do, you know. Yeah. But there was one very gay guy in the group, like, he goes to, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that, but he every character that he did was sort of gay, you know. And then it was like it's a black guy, and every character he did was black, which is fine because, you know.
Makes sense.
Every character that I did was Caucasian.
Yeah.
So
is he also a Jew?
I don't know. And it was a weird, I mean, it was kind of fun. And I kind of felt bad for my friend Peter because he didn't seem very comfortable there. But the time I got there, I was exhausted because he was talking a lot. He was talking a lot. Like, I talk a lot, but he talks. When I'm with somebody who talks a lot, I kind of shut up.
Right.
And he was just, like, doing a mile a minute, like, driving there. And I'm like, by the time I got there, I was like, this guy should come with a bag of aspirin. Because I think he must have Asperger's. He must have Asperger's. He was kind of funny, but also exhausting at the same time. So anyway, so now I have him in my life. He's texting me all the time. Like, he doesn't have my actual text, but he's DMing me on Facebook all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And he's doing these cryptic, like, yesterday he was quoting Elton John lyrics for no reason. Daniel, my brother, you know? Like, I don't need this. So anyway, or he'll be, like, calling Daniel. You're like, ugh. Like, he's just weird, man. Like, I swear to God, you are normal. You really are compared to these people.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's no doubt. Yeah.
I think you're like my only normal friend.
It's a good possibility, yeah.
So I'm just saying, which is good.
Yeah, you need to have someone normal in your life, man. You need to.
I do, and now I don't know how to. I mean, he seems like. Did you ever see that movie? There's a movie that Robin Williams did with early on, and it was Fisher King, I think it was called.
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
Right, it's weird. It's like him and Jeff Bridges, and they're kind of. Robert Williams plays a crazy guy, shocker, you know. And but this is the way this guy is. He's like all like he'll talk a mile a minute, and I don't really anyway. So that was a night, you know. And the instructor of the group is a woman, and you know, I mean, she's a woman, which is enough for me at this point, you know. But of course, she's probably married. I don't know.
Oh yeah, they all are at this. It's just best to assume that all women are married at this point.
I know. And they're doing a show soon, but they don't really have a group. So I think I'm as good as these people are. Mm-hmm. I'm not great at improv.
Right.
I don't even like it that much. Because if you're doing something that you're not good at, it's not that much fun. You know.
Yeah.
But I'm okay. Like, once in a while, I'll come up with a good act character, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I might go again next Tuesday. I don't know. But, so that was Tuesday. And then Wednesday, you know, there was another singles event.
Right.
By the way, I matched with, last time we talked, if we want any continuity. Last time we talked, people were on pins and needles that because they don't know if I matched with these women. So remember I was talking about this one woman that was drinking a lot of beer?
Oh, yeah, the double fister, yeah.
Did not match with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the only one I really wanted to, you know, sleep with.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I did match with a few other women, and I kind of waited, you know. I wasn't, so now, but now, the other night, I was kind of bored. I was like, okay, let's give these women a chance. Give peace a chance, you know.
Right.
So now I'm texting with them, and one of them asked for pictures today, and I'm like, you saw me in real life. Like, what do you need a picture for? So I sent her a picture.
Of course you did.
And then she sends me, she goes, oh, that's a really nice picture. Do you have any others? I'm like, well, am I supposed to send her like every fucking picture that I ever had?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I want to say, look, I know what you look like. You know what it looked like. You don't need another picture. But right. I didn't say that.
You sent her another picture.
I didn't. I was like, I was going to do a cliffhanger. I said, I'll look.
Oh.
And then I said, but I do remember what you look like in real life. And then she said, you want to see your pictures?
Sure.
I mean, it's like...
This is the one that you met the single group the other night?
This is the one from last week. This is the one from last week.
That one, okay.
Yeah, the one with the stalker was there.
Oh, right.
And so this is, I won't say, you know, I don't know. It's, you know, that's one. Ryan is not sure how to
respond. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either. This one is actually worse. Anyway, she's a woman.
Right.
She's a woman. She has hair, you know.
I think her eyes are just a little too big for my taste.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're... well, the fact that she's asking for pictures all the time, she knows what it looked like.
Yeah.
Like, what's the motivation
That's
there?
Weird.
Yeah, but you know what? This I really don't. Anyway.
I'm sure if I actually was, like, with her in person... That's the problem
with... No, I did talk with her, and it was okay.
Well, that's the problem with pictures. Like, you get, like, one impression, but when you actually see them in person, they're talking, and right. It's like, their right. face don't stay the same. I mean,
yeah.
Let's be honest. No. I don't have the best face. No, dude. I never liked my face.
No. Listen. You take better photos than I do. I take horrible photos. Like, I look semi-retarded in my pictures. I look gay, now there's anything wrong with that, and retarded, now there's anything wrong with that. But I think I'm better looking in life than the pictures. Right. I don't know.
I think I am, too.
But anyway, so that's weird. So now I'm dealing with that. So I go to this thing, and... it's at a local restaurant here, but it's hard to find because it's inside of a mall. So the GPS doesn't...
Was it sending you to, like, the mall, but, like...
Yeah, it's at the end of the Morrison Mall. It was at the Olive Garden.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but the problem is it's inside of a mall, and even I had to think about exactly where it is because I don't often go there. So now I get there. There's nobody there except for a few really, really, really old people.
This is the one from this past week.
Yeah, Wednesday night, yeah. So now, but then I meet a woman. I'm talking to her. She's like, my friends are coming, but they're lost. Can you talk to them on the phone and tell them? So now I'm on the phone.
Jesus Christ.
I know, it's unbelievable. And then they call the manager to tell them where the restaurant, he's giving them directions to the Craigerbridge Mall, which is completely across the street. Even the manager of this place, the whole thing was a goddamn Twilight Zone.
Shit.
And the guy that ran this place, he's like 100 years old with a cane. And he goes to the bathroom to probably take a shit. So now I'm like the only one there, and I'm like helping people. I'm like seating people, and I'm giving them directions to the place. So anyway, it was ridiculous. So then this is like the first hour there. So then I do talk to the problem with these things is you see the same men all the time.
Oh, right. Just and, like the other one from the week before.
Yeah, there was like this guy there that I totally recognized, and he's just Mr. Complainer. I don't know. I had to go around in circles to find this restaurant. And when are the chicks getting here? Chicks. These are women over 60, you know?
Like, yeah.
So now, and I'm like, God damn. I mean, no wonder you're single. Man, you're unattractive and you complain.
Yeah.
Like, if you're unattractive, at least develop a personality.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Me too. I mean, like, it's hard.
But this guy just sits there. I mean, does he not realize that he's I don't want to talk to him. He's a downer, but there's nobody else to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm talking to him, and finally these women that I told, they're like, they show up. Oh, thank you for giving us directions to the place, because we called the manager. He told us, you know, now I have to deal with that for like the next 10 minutes. Everybody's like over 80. So then these two other women walk by, and I befriend them. Oh, and then the comic from the Hyatt, from the you know, I've been going to these comic clubs. He shows up. So every time, it's like Seinfeld, you know. It's like everywhere I go, this guy Jay is there. He's like this. Comic, he's Jewish, he's like, you know, I mean, like, I know his whole life story now. Every time I go, it's like I go to the mall, he's there, you know, it's like he's waiting for me. And so then now it's me and what should we call him, a comic Jay,
I guess, because I think the name I was giving him before the podcast may have been a little offensive. So
all right, comic Jay.
Right, comic Jay.
Comic Jay is good. And then these other two men. Oh, did we? I don't know if we gave him a shout out. I've been trying to do that for the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, that, you start out the shout out, then. All
right, so let's give a proper shout out. God damn it! Shout out! Shout out.
Now that's it.
Ah.
Let's move forward.
All right. Sorry. Sorry. I get very hung up on words. So shout out to, what's their names? to Joan and Anne. Okay. So now I am on a text. So now we're going out tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I'm entangled. I'm entangled.
I have a threesome.
Yeah, well, let's not get crazy. But we're going to see Comic Jay do his thing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Why? I don't know. I offered free tickets.
Yeah.
So they think we're kind of funny, these Joan and Anne.
Oh, yeah.
So now I'm like, and I'm hungry. I'm like, I'm going to eat something. So then we get a table, and Jay's trying to set me up with Joan, you know, and I'll show you a picture again, you know. So
the one that you just showed me?
No.
Oh, this is different.
No. The thing about the Olive Garden is that it's very famous for.
I've never actually eaten at an Olive Garden before.
It's got a bad reputation, but it's okay. It's like a very typical.
It's a gift.
So this is me with breadsticks.
Oh, wow.
This is the way I looked. So all this food, that's mine. This is all my food. I turned into Fat Elvis that night. Because nobody else, because I was like...
Well, at least the one plate's mostly greens, so...
Yeah. This is, but I it was probably like 9,000 calories this day, you know? So now, I mean, it was just, but, you know, and these women are very nice, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Joan and Anne, very nice. You know, but again, a very peculiar evening, you know. So those are two nights in a row, like Denny needs a rest, you know.
Right.
And then last night I go to the show at MacArthur Theater, and my aunt Jenny's there, you know. And you know, okay. So there's a thing at the end of these things where the guy wrote a book, the guy that did the show. So now there's a huge line for people to buy the book. So then, and I want to go home. I want to go. I know I parked elsewhere. And Jenny's like, okay. She's like, Danny, you stand on line. I'm gonna go talk to my friend, and you tell me when the line. I'm like, now I'm standing in line for Aunt Jenny, and it was like, you know, full of really old people. So now I'm standing, like, literally 30 minutes I'm standing there. And then she's complaining. First, at the beginning of the night, she doesn't have a ticket. Like, she goes to the box office. She goes, oh, I my friend gave me a ticket, but I don't have it. And then she goes, I can't find it on my phone. I'm an idiot. And then the whole world has to stop while the box office looks for Jenny's ticket. So anyway, so I lost 35 minutes out of my life standing in line for her. And she bought four books. She didn't buy me a book. And then she's like, and then I have to see her again tomorrow because there's a big tennis tournament day tomorrow. So tonight.
Jesus.
This is really very uncomfortable for me, this whole situation.
Jesus Christ.
I know. I really, but anyway, I'm trying. I'm trying to. I just at the end of the day, after all this stuff, it makes me feel like why, I mean, I'm not embellishing anything about the people that I met this week, really.
Right.
And so, Weird Peter was weird, Comic Jay is weird, and, you know, Anne and Joan, I don't want to say that they're weird, but...
Right, normal by comparison to everyone else.
They're very normal by comparison. You're normal. I mean, you have issues. Don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah.
But you're not weird. You know what I mean? So
I'm more. I'm trying to think of the right word.
And then there's the promoter that wants to have sex with me.
Oh yeah, that whole thing.
And so, Comic Jay has been bothered by this certain lady for a while. Their job is to seat people. And they can't get it right. So every time I'm there, there's like this huge chaos.
Oh, yeah.
But this woman offered me free tickets to the show tonight. And now I'm learning that she had no authority to give me the free tickets. So I don't even know if I'm going to the show tonight.
I think someone messaged
me. I don't care, man. I don't care. I'm doing a show right now, goddamn.
Well, I'm actually kind of curious because this could escalate the plot.
I know. I just want to know. All right. Let's see.
Or it could just be family.
No, no, it's family. My family, somebody did something and they're giving, you know, props. It's one of those, everybody's congratulating each other.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I hate those conversations.
That must be nice.
No, it's terrible. I don't, my family has, I don't know if, do you do this with your family? That there's like a text?
Chain, no. In fact, the only person who congratulated me on my new job in my family was my mom. That's because I told her.
Oh.
But no one else
did?
Did.
You know what? Congratulations on your new job.
I think you actually did already. So,
but now I feel the need to do it again.
Oh, thanks, man.
Anyway, we'll get to that.
Yeah. So it's not interesting.
Yeah, I know. I figure. But that's not nice of them not to congratulate you.
Well, it could just be possible that she didn't tell anyone.
Well, why did you make an announcement at your dinner table?
I did not make an announcement. I told her. But I don't like to make announcements about like my personal successes.
Because mm-hmm.
I've kind of had problems in the past of being happy for other people's success. So mm-hmm. It makes me feel guilty about talking about my own success, because then it kind of makes me feel like a hypocrite. Not a hypocrite, but like it's like, well, I wasn't happy for them, so I shouldn't really say anything to anyone, because then they may feel happy for me. That'll make me feel like a jackass because I wasn't happy for them back in the day. So,
wow.
One of those things, you know.
Are you sure you're not Jewish? That was a very neurotic way to look at it.
I would not be surprised if I did have
a Jewish gene.
Yeah, exactly. I never did meet my biological father's side. So,
well, let me think if I'm actually happy for your promotion. I never thought about it in terms of happiness for me.
Right.
Because that has nothing to do with me.
Well, I guess the thing is, most people probably aren't in actuality, so I'm probably like overburdening myself with
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I think you're overthinking
yeah.
it. British Mark would say you're overthinking it.
I'm overthinking it.
Yeah, but that's okay. Oh, I have a book for you.
Oh, yeah?
Remind me to give it to you.
You sure you want to give me another book after I never finished the John Lennon one?
That's true. You never even touched the John Lennon book.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll show you the cover.
Okay.
But I won't give it to you.
Okay. Plus, I'm still working my I started that How to Feel Good, that one book I told you about. My
oh, yeah, yeah, therapist. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got like 30 pages because it's a workbook.
It's dry. It's dry. Yeah. So. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So you have a lot of books in progress.
I have a lot of books in progress. And quite frankly, I don't think I've read a book in its entirety in over 3 years.
I would like to read a book. I think I've only read a few books in my life.
I used to read a lot more when I was younger.
Yeah, yeah. I want to read a book, but then there's a lot of stuff on TV, you know? Like, I keep watching, like, YouTube. You know this thing called YouTube?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very easy to go down a rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been rabbit-holing, like, Howard Stern clips and, you know, this morning I did, like, Lissy clips, you know. It's very easy to do.
Absolutely.
That's why I'm not reading any books.
Yeah.
But I might get the book from the guy that I saw last night. Because he was actually – I was telling you before the show that, you know, it was a political satire show. And I actually liked it. I actually got it. And I feel very adult about it, you know.
Yeah. Satire, when done well, can be –
Yeah,
you know,
yeah. I mean, hilarious. he was very smart. Like he actually said some cool things. He said he went to Harvard,
mm-hmm.
but he said when you tell somebody that you went to Harvard, they hate you right away.
Yeah,
you know. But he said it so funnily that I forgave him for going to Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I should apply to Harvard just to see if I can get in. I could probably get.
You're not gonna get into Harvard.
I probably could.
I don't think so.
I probably could. I'd like
you to try.
Maybe not in the back of the day, but I have a master's degree. I feel like that would work in my favor.
You have a master's degree, but like, don't you have to get like A++++ in every subject to get into Harvard?
Well, I did. Well, I figured my final grade point average with my master's degree was a 3.8 out of 4. So I got mostly A's during that.
I don't know how Harvard works.
I mean, I think I should. So the only thing that's kind of holding me back from applying for every single Ivy League school. Now, bear in mind, I wouldn't actually go to them.
Right.
I just want to see if I can get in.
Right.
And what's actually holding me back is like the huge, like non-refundable application fee.
Right, which is a lot, right?
It's usually like around $100 or so. And that was like back in the day.
Well, let's just tell people that you applied to Harvard and you got in. Like
If it were for me to actually pull it off, I'd have to actually do it.
Yeah.
Because then the true confidence would actually show through. Yeah.
So I guess we'll never know.
Well, maybe. I mean, I need to start.
How much is the application fee? I'll go half and half.
I actually haven't looked it up, but it's
probably like $2.
I'm trying to think. There are Princeton, Yale,
yeah,
Harvard, Cornell, and there are a few other Stanford, I think schools.
Stanford
is Stanford one of them?
There's a lot, but I mean, I don't care because I'm never going to get into
right.
them. You know, I mean, went to Mercer County College, and I'm proud of it. You know. So, yeah, I mean, you could try. I mean, that would be great because then we could, like, promote this podcast to someone who almost went to apply to Harvard.
Yeah, and got in. But decided not to because he had scheduling issues. And right. Scheduling conflicts.
Right. Yeah. Well, you were very busy.
Very busy.
But I wonder if we could get more juice out of the topic of me attracting weird people. And, you know,
I think we totally could.
So, okay. Answer me this as if you care.
Okay.
So, why is most of my experiences weird? Okay, let's analyze this from a very scientific point of view. You know, like I went to the singles night. Right. I parked the car. Suddenly, I'm there and I'm giving directions to people to come to the place. The guy's taking a shit. He's not there. And I'm like, now I'm the manager of the place. Within minutes of me getting there, I didn't do anything. I just showed up.
So, okay. So this is without you even talking to anyone.
Well, yeah. I did talk to people, but it's not, I didn't, the events that happened, I didn't bring them on. They just happened.
So I think, okay. So
they happened to me, man.
Okay. So here's a thought.
Okay. I like thoughts.
Okay. Here's a thought. Next time you do something like this,
uh-huh,
I want you to take my approach and don't talk to anyone first.
But
you usually, even if it's like small talk, you'll start talking to people.
Right.
I think if you just hang back, just like maybe go get yourself a drink.
But that would have been boring.
But if let's say you don't talk to anyone, you just walk in.
I just walk in there.
You just walk in. I guess the whole thing. I guess you had a name tag, so I guess
I had a name tag.
Be like, hey, I'm a Danny Siegel. I'm here for the whatever the fuck this is.
Right.
And then they give you the tag. They put the tag on. You just kind of like walk around. And was there a place to get drinks or something?
Yeah, a bar.
Okay, so you go to the bar. Be like, I'll get an old fashioned. All right. What kind of drink did you get?
I didn't get any drink because I was giving directions right away to people on the phone.
Well, yeah, that's.
I mean, like, I don't think I talked. I literally, there was like two. There's like this complaining, dude. I didn't cause this to happen.
You probably don't think about this, but here's something I just thought about.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk in, do you meet anyone in the eye? Or do you have like a dead stare and just like stare into space without actually looking at anyone like I do?
I looked into Ralph's eyes, the guy that managed the place, and then he took a shit, and then I had to stand in for him. So
that was a mistake. You don't look people in the eyes, be like, this... Danny.
I don't know, man. I think that even if I didn't look anybody in the eye, someone would come up to me and say, why aren't you looking me in the eye?
They won't.
I don't know.
I don't look at anyone. I don't talk to anyone. One talks to me. So, I can tell you.
Well, I don't know what's worse. Okay, what do you think is worse? To have my life and have weird experiences, or to do your approach and have no life? Like, which is better? We're both unhappy.
Well, see, here's the thing.
I don't know which one's better.
See, this is also... it's a tough call because it's like... one of the things like that's constant in life is there's no ending. So it's not like our lives are building up to this big catharsis where it's like, okay, this is what it meant all along.
No,
so it's like,
we're never going to know.
Never going to know that. So it's like, okay, so I guess we have to take in account like the smaller experiences. So I would say, okay, actually, honestly, if I'm being honest...
Right.
I would say your life is more interesting.
Oh, it is more interesting, but I don't know if it's better. I don't know if it's better because we're both unhappy. I'm just unhappy in different ways than you are.
Yeah, I guess like it's.
Both of our lives lead to an empty, dark, unsatisfying.
I think to an extent, I feel like we're both fulfilled in certain ways. Not
I haven't
the same
been fulfilled
ways.
Since 1978. I haven't been fulfilled for shit.
I've been feeling some fulfillment lately.
Well, that's damn happy for you. I haven't been fulfilled since 1978. I don't think I don't. If I have, if I was fulfilled, I wouldn't know what to do with it.
So my
I'm probably get the mouth.
Oh yeah. So I think like I.
What are you fulfilled about?
Well, my job.
Why am I angry? I'm getting angry. I'm getting angry. Well, Danny's getting angry.
So, okay, so like with my point now, which is actually funny because if people who listen to this haven't listened to our early episodes from like a year ago, listen to how I was back then to where I am now, they'd be like, holy fuck.
Are you about to say something positive?
I think I might.
Okay.
But I think it's also one of those realizations where it's like, okay, it's very likely you're not going to be able to have everything all at once.
Right.
So it's like, I'm having the career, the happiness concerning my job right now.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
So that's good. I mean, like, and it kind of.
But is it happiness?
It's one of those, I think it's one of those things I'm thinking about just now where it's like, it's one of those things where you're happy about this one thing that's happening.
Right.
And the happiness is kind of like drifting off, kind of like a snow with an avalanche.
Yeah, yeah.
The snow's falling down the mountain.
Of course it does.
And it's entering other things. Like, sure, I may be unfulfilled and unhappy about like my love life.
Right. But it's not so bad because you're right. Your angle of perception is more colored by happiness or something.
Right.
What the fuck did I just say?
Something positive.
That is so hard for me to do. I think I had a heart attack just saying that. Yeah. No, I know. Once you're happy about something, it is going to percolate. It's going to, like osmosis.
Right. And it's actually, you were just saying before, we're not doing shows right now. So it's right. you're focusing on, it's like your mind is.
I'm focusing on
other random stuff.
I'm focusing on Joan, Ann, and yeah, Comic J.
Comic J.
Yeah.
Where.
So it's really going to get me in some places.
But I think like, yeah, if you were to focus. If you were to get happy in like something, it'll be like the way I'm happy right now.
Yeah,
it'll permeate.
Right, because your perception is not coming from like. Mm-hmm. Of course, happiness is contagious. You know, like if you're gonna be happy about something, it's gonna make. If you get a flat tire, you're gonna be like, yeah, it's a flat tire. You know, but if you were depressed before the flat tire, you'd be like, fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if you're happy before the flat tire, you're like, ah. You know, yeah. I'll just get my wrench and I'll sing some songs and I'll change my tire, you know? So it's all about like if you're in a good mood before you smoke pot, like then it's really fun. But if you're in a bad mood before you smoke pot, then you're going to get paranoid, you know? Like, of course your attitude is going to change. Everything that we experience in life is changed, is colored by our attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody knows this.
Mm-hmm.
A three-year-old knows this.
Well, not everyone. I feel like you have to like take a look inside yourself and like read up on some stuff because it's like it's very easy to look at life. It's like that the whole fixed mindset versus growth mindset approach. I mean, I hate the word growth. That's one thing I came to realize like over this past week. I think just because it's one that's been overemphasized a lot lately,
right?
And it's like just because you do something a certain way, to me, doesn't necessarily represent growth. Just because you're happy doesn't mean it's growth necessarily.
Well, growth is you know, like you said, like last year, you wouldn't have had any fulfillment about anything. So
right.
I would call that growth in the sense that now you have some, you know, your perception is a little bit healthier, let's say. Mm-hmm. So that's growth.
Okay.
I mean, so I think it's how you define growth.
Right.
That's the issue.
I think also, like, you know, when I was 20 years old, I that wasn't the first time I thought of the idea of personal evolution and making life a journey of better fulfilling,
becoming better in yourself. Right.
And at the time, you know, it seemed like such a novel idea, even for like someone my age at the time, that nowadays when I see people like quoting, like I see the masses quoting stuff that way back in the day, I was the only one within my social circle to, like, think about this stuff.
Right.
It really pisses me off because then it's like my ideas that I thought were great back then are now just become mainstream. Then kind of becomes like, no, I'm not so interested in it anymore.
Yeah, you know? Well, there's a lot of cliches out there, you know. Yeah. But, I mean, the idea – I don't think you hate the idea of growth per se. You're hating the – you know, the dumbing down of it. Yeah. You know? I mean, this is what the guy that I saw last night was saying.
Oh, really?
Well, he was doing it with politics, but he was saying that now we are, because of the whole thing, I don't even want to get into politics here, but like the dumbing down of intellectualism. Like back then we had Kennedy, we had like people that were, even Nixon, which, you know, they were smart people. And now, like, our presidents are not that smart, you know?
Yeah.
But why is this the case? It's because of the media. It's because of TV. Like, if you look good at, if you're a good performer, like Trump is a good performer on TV.
Yeah.
But he's kind of an idiot.
Yeah, you know? He really is.
So it almost doesn't matter. Like the audience in America has been trained by reality TV, by a lot of stupid shit, to have that performance trumps, for lack of a better word, being smart. Yeah. Like being smart is almost a liability now.
Yeah.
Like if you're smart and not charismatic,
mm-hmm.
then you're not going to go anywhere. You have to be charismatic and smart, but we can't find anybody like that.
And the other thing
except is that, for us, but we're not running for president.
That's the thing. So it's interesting because you figure like back in the day, like the guys, like the renegades who thought differently. It's like, well, I guess actually, you know, that's kind of been one thing that's kind of always been a constant, regardless of the presence of media, something that's been going on for as long as like time itself. People who thought differently,
yeah,
were always in the moment, like. If they were a public figure, at least,
mm-hmm.
or if their ideas became public.
Like John Lennon,
or like some of like the great philosophers, or even like, I think it was Sir Isaac Newton back in the time, I think, like his, I could be wrong, but like,
okay. I don't think about it.
But their ideas were like, compared to like what was commonly accepted.
Right. But we're talking about two separate things, okay? One is
being stupid.
And one is being smart, but outside of the norm, right? So what you're talking about is people that are outside of the norm, but they're smart.
Right.
As opposed to people like Trump who are just really...
Yeah, like, he's like...
You know.
Trump's like outside the norm, but he's also...
Really, he's outside the norm, but he's really... Yeah. He's in his own world.
But see, even with him, like I'm not sure if that was like a genuine dumbness or if it was him just...
Well, but it doesn't matter.
But yeah.
It doesn't matter because ultimately it becomes dumb.
Yeah.
Regardless, I actually think that he is like...
Yeah.
Like he's so out there that he... Anyway, let's not talk about him. But I mean, but I do think that there's just a dumbing down. And like if you are entertainment trumps being smart.
Mm.
So that's the problem, you know? Like that's why we... Like you know, people are not going to get on TV these days with reality TV and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, reality TV is really dumb. Have you seen an episode of The Bachelor?
I have not, because
I've seen a few episodes.
I have not wasted my time. The only reality show I wasted my time on even was like probably back in like 2004. Andy Dick.
Yeah.
Had his
own thing. I love Andy Dick.
And he's
a fucking mess.
That one actually like appealed to me. Well, one at the time, there was like a really hot chick at the time that was on it. And I think she like got booted off like the first episode I watched.
I don't think that show lasted more than a few episodes. I mean,
I think it lasted a whole round, the assistant.
But Andy Dick, I think he's still alive, but I don't know how. But the thing about reality TV is this. Like, my life is reality TV. That's enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't need to watch another person's reality.
Yeah.
And usually
they're scripted.
The Bachelor, dude. Howard Stern loves The Bachelor. I don't know how a smart person could watch that show. It's so bad, you know? It's so bad.
It could be like a guilty pleasure thing.
Yeah, I mean, making fun of dumb people.
Yeah.
It's like the Romans, you know? Like you're feeding, you know, I don't know. I don't know anything about the Romans. I don't know why it said the Romans. But you know what I mean, though. Yeah, it's like spectacle. Like, I think what the Romans did is that they had these, like, wild, like, you know, crazy competitions people died. And it was just entertainment. It was dumb entertainment.
Apparently they're making a Gladiator 2.
Great. Without Russell Crowe?
But I guess without him, but Ridley Scott's directing it, which, you know, in his 80s, good for him.
I don't think I've seen Gladiator,
actually. I actually saw it once, like a few years ago.
That's Russell Crowe, right?
Yeah.
It's good?
It's pretty good, yeah. Joaquin Phoenix was in it.
Of course he was in it. Yeah, he probably played a sullen, non-communicative
person. Yeah, his character definitely had, like, some entitlement problems. That was actually interesting. That was, like, a year, like in the year two, so that came out in 2000. This is my movie nerd coming out for a little bit.
At least you know something about something.
Exactly. So, like, Gladiator was released in 2000.
Uh-huh.
Hannibal and Black Hawk Down were both released in 2001. So, Ridley Scott, he directed, like, three movies that came out over the course of 2 years.
I didn't see Black Hawk.
I loved it. I saw, like, right after it came out.
Is that a war movie?
Yeah, with Ewan McGregor, Josh Hartnett.
Okay.
I haven't seen it since.
What happened to Josh Hartnett, by the way?
He was in... He was just in Guy Ritchie's, not his newest one, The Covenant, but the one that came out before, Operation Fortune.
Operation Fortune? Never heard of it.
It was supposed to come out like at the beginning of last year.
Okay.
But so I heard a couple things. I heard because like the antagonists of the film were Ukrainian, and apparently it was supposed to come out like right as like the whole Russia-Ukraine thing started, so right. They decided not to release
okay,
it.
Okay.
But at the same time, I also heard like the studio who was behind it like went bankrupt, so then became part of like... It went through this limbo of, like, it hadn't been distributed.
All right, okay. Well, let's take a look at Josh Hartnett for a second, shall we?
He was good.
Now, I don't know anything about the guy, and I don't think I've ever seen a Josh Hartnett movie.
I've seen a few. I've seen Halloween H2O and Pearl Harbor.
Okay. Now, he's not, like, an actor that you see all the time. But, you know, he's kind of like... Do you think he's going to have, like, a movie like... who's the guy that did The Whale?
I know, Brendan Fraser, because I was actually Brendan just thinking Fraser. Of it. I was just thinking of
so Brendan Fraser had like 20 years of no activity, and he was probably down and out, and then did a movie.
But I heard he got blackballed by the industry. Apparently he got like, I guess he was like one of those like a sexual assault victims or something like that.
Something weird, yeah. But I mean, he also, you know, I don't know. I mean, who knows? There's a lot of people like that, like...
Mm-hmm.
That are making like so, but he had this big resurgence with the West. I'm never going to see The Whale, by the
Me
way,
neither.
Because it looks
really depressing.
Depressing as hell.
Darren Aronofsky's not my favorite filmmaker. Like he did, I liked Requiem for a Dream enough.
I hated Requiem for a Dream.
I liked Black Swan up, but
they're
not movies I'm going to go and revisit.
No. You liked Requiem. Requiem for a Dream is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I think in terms of style, I liked it. I liked it in terms of style.
There was one sex scene with Jennifer Connelly that was like, okay.
Mm.
But.
Well, I also liked it because it was like a rare, like, dramatic turn for, I think it was Marlon Wayans.
Oh, God.
Which was surprising.
If anybody's seen that movie and doesn't go to the Gothel's Bridge and throw themselves off the bridge, I mean, that is the most depressing.
It could have been a lot worse. It could have been that exact story, but actually told through the lens of realism. And that could have been even worse.
It's drugs. It's just horrible. It's just like sitting through that movie. Imagine if you had to watch that every day. Imagine if you had to get up in the morning and just watch that movie every day. You would kill yourself.
Oh, there are much worse movies. Like, and actually, I want to kind of swing back to what you were just saying now about like entertainment, like dumbing down the masses. And a lot of like the now, Grant, I love blockbusters.
Mm-hmm.
I always have.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms, I'm not really talking about them because they are specifically made with like a mass appeal in mind. So they kind of have to be safe to an extent,
right?
But they make up for it with the spectacle, in my opinion,
right?
But there's a lot of other stuff that's made nowadays. It's like it's really safe.
You mean like are you talking about indie movies, or are you talking?
I'm talking more like mainstream. And even like a lot of indie movies, you don't see.
No. It's very, that right.
Indie's different. I think the indie scene is still like in terms of what's being put out is still good.
It's happening, but it's not as good as it used to be.
Right.
So I agree with you. Right now, because of the fucking woke society mm-hmm. that we live in, nothing. There's hardly anything original happening right now.
Also, that just the way that the cinema in general. You know, the cinema's been battling. Different like outside forces for like decades now with TV,
right.
Home media, now streaming. So now it's not having
right. It's not as impactful as right. it used to be. Right. I still like to go see movies in a movie theater.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
but that's too. Because I like to just jerk off. No, I don't. I was just doing a Pee Wee Herman joke.
Are you doing Paul Rubens?
I was doing a Pee Wee Herman joke, which went nowhere. But anyway, it's been a while since I said something stupid. I have to say something stupid every 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise,
people will forget they might forget they're actually listening to it.
The last 5 minutes we actually were making sense. Yeah. And then people will be like, oh my god, they're making sense.
Yeah.
And I just had to bring it back.
Oh, absolutely.
To jerking off.
Absolutely.
But I don't jerk off in the movie theater. Right. I hardly jerk off at home, really. It's kind of a rare occurrence. But anyway, we'll talk about that. But the point is, I still like a movie in a movie theater. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's something I really want to see, I'll watch it in the movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm loyal. I like the whole experience. You know, yeah. if I watch it at home, I'm going to fall asleep,
mm-hmm.
or at least shut my eyes for a few. It's just not as exciting, you know. Like if there's a new John Johnson movie, I'm going to go, which there probably won't be.
Yeah. Even if there were, he'd be in it for like 5 minutes at the end.
Dude, you know what he is? He is.
he brings it every single time.
He does. But he is in the new I'm sure it's horrible. It's the new. What the fuck is up with Jane Fonda? She makes a movie now. She's 80 years old. And every time I go to the movie theater, there's like a poster of her.
Oh, okay.
She better die soon because like I'm sick of seeing her picture. But anyway, they're doing Book Club 2.
Oh, right.
I saw Book Club 1. I was the only one in the audience.
And I think my mom actually went. I think it was like the only movie she went to see by herself.
Yeah.
She liked it.
It's not awful, mm-hmm. but I'm sure the sequel is worse. And I'm sure Don Johnson is in it for like 5 minutes, but the trailer has him in it. Like, in case you're a Don Johnson fan like I am. Like, but I would feel really stupid going to see it. And I'm sure he's on it for 5 minutes. You know, this is the one where they go to Italy.
Oh, yeah.
These old ladies go to Italy. Like, who cares? Who fucking cares? I don't care if they go to Greece or Italy. I don't care if they go anywhere.
You know what I watched last night? Because you mentioned a European location.
What?
I watched for the first time In Bruges.
I've seen it.
I liked that one.
It's okay. I have a problem with Colin Farrell.
Really?
Because he did that Miami Vice movie.
Well, okay.
And he's also done a lot of films that are just sort of okay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I've ever seen a Colin Farrell. I mean, he did that fucking in the Irish movie from last year.
By the same director. I actually enjoyed that. I liked that.
I didn't understand
what they were saying throughout the entire movie.
So how did you enjoy it if you didn't understand it?
Well, part of it was also I like the location. I like the actual story.
You like Ireland. Like, anything set in Ireland, you're going to like.
Pretty much. Plus, I also
like... A circumcision set in Ireland, you're going to like.
Oh, yeah. I also like the story, though. I think everything else about the end,
there's like a scene where their fingers get cut off.
Brendan Gleeson, yeah.
Yeah, I'm never going to watch it. But I have a problem with Colin Farrell because he's never done... In Bruges is one of his better films, I mm-hmm. think. I don't remember anything about it.
Well,
I know he's a hitman.
He's a hitman. He botched his last hit. He accidentally killed a kid when he was killing a priest.
Yeah. It's one of his better films.
Yeah.
But he's done a lot of crap, too.
He was good as the Penguin in the Batman. Granted, he kind of channeled his, like, he channeled Robert De Niro. That's another thing. I haven't watched it yet. But they released a trailer for Scorsese's new movie with DiCaprio and De Niro.
Right.
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Right.
I'm actually surprised I haven't watched the trailer yet, because that's been one I've been waiting to see for a while.
Well, you need things to look forward to, you know?
That's right. I hear it's like 3.5 hours long, so...
The trailer?
The movie. That'd be something.
Oh, my God. We're at the end of the episode.
I know.
What the fuck? Are you going somewhere? I saw you, like, inching to go somewhere. Are you going to the bathroom? No. You can't leave me alone.
I'm not leaving you alone.
Because if I'm alone here, who knows what I'm going to say?
Oh, God, yeah.
But, okay, so here, let's summarize. Because this is the part that we have 2 minutes. So, okay.
We generally don't do any summaries.
We don't?
We don't.
No, but I feel like we should because...
There was a lot to unpack with this episode, I think.
The whole concept of... I was hoping... This is what I was hoping. I was hoping to find the answer.
Okay.
Which we didn't. Why every time I leave the apartment does weird shit happen to me? We haven't figured that out.
We could do a part two.
I would love to do a part
two. Let's do a part two. Let's put this on a cliffhanger.
A cliffhanger for like 5 minutes?
Does Danny attract weirdness? Find out in a few minutes when you listen to part two.
Are we gonna find out the answer?
We could try.
But I think you're smart.
I think if we actually focus on it rather than jumping from one subject to another.
But the point I was trying to tell you before is that even if I don't make eye contact, the whole eye contact theory that you had when I go somewhere, it doesn't really hold water, I don't think, because weird shit happens to me. Even if I don't look away, even if I don't look into anybody's eyes, weird shit is going to happen to me. Because God, you know what happens? When I was born, God said the weird shit will happen to that dude. And if and he's been right, or she, ever since.
Well, I think that is something for us to unpack in the next episode. And I think
We have a minute. We can't figure this out in the next 40 seconds.
This is going to be like...
All right, you know what? The next one we're going to do, we're going to have beer because we've been having...
Rum and Coke,
which I like.
It's pretty good. Pretty good drink.
So anyway, all right. You know what? We will do an... We were going to watch a Miami Vice episode, but I'll do another episode of
fucking
this.
Fucking A, man.
What are we going to talk about? Okay, no, let's try to find out.
Let's try to focus on this.
Okay, this could be like part one.
This is part one.
Part one.
And those who want to listen to part two will be listening to part two for that reason. So we got to give them something.
Okay. You know? All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Keep chasing the sun.
Bye.